We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. Yeah.
Everybody, it's time again for another podcast. It's me, your host, Alan. So glad to be here. Today is the day before Labor Day. It's the September 1st. And Monday being September 2nd. And that means, as you know, billing day. Oh, and I'm the lead.
War isn't murder. Good men don't die. Children don't starve and all women survive. War isn't murder. That's what they say when you're fighting the devil. Murder's okay.
Okay, so today's musical guest is Jesse Wells, and it's W-E-L-L-E-S. So the reason I know it's pronounced Wells is because this album is called Wells Bells, as in AC/DC's Hell's Bells, but it's Wells Bells. Now, a little thing about Jesse Wells, I can't remember where I saw him first. It might have been YouTube Shorts. It might have been Instagram. Who knows? Who cares, really? But he is a modern-day folk protest singer. And he sings about, you know, how screwed up the government is. And, you know, he's got a great song. It's not on this album, but it's about being poor. And it's like, oh, I didn't realize being poor was my fault, right? Like, it was just because I wasn't working hard enough. I wasn't trying. That's why I'm poor. It's not because the system is corrupt. Like, that's the thing about all his songs. All of his songs are, like, deeply sarcastic, right? Like this one.
If war isn't murder, good men don't die. So in a short 20 years, when you vacation the strip, don't think about the dead.
So the thing about him, too, is that I really hope nobody thinks he's serious, right? He's got a song on here called Fat, where he's talking about, like, oh, the reason why people are fat is because they just eat too much. It's not because, you know, fast food is cheap and easy and is designed to taste good. You know, he knows, right? And I just hope that people who hear him are like, know that he knows, right? Because the worst thing you could be is like, well, I don't know. Look, if you're such an asshole and you're like, he's saying that it's my fault. No. You know, you're an idiot, right? Yeah. That should be one of Jesse Wells' songs, is like, if you're so stupid that you don't get the joke, then you're dumb and you deserve it. Everything. You deserve it all. All the badness. Okay. So it's been almost exactly a month since I've done this. Oh, I wanted to say it was a little warm today, not like it's been, but I had the window open and I thought, oh, this will be great. You can hear the trees rustling in the background, maybe a dog barking, and then I thought, you know what? My neighbors don't want to hear me yelling cock at the top of my lungs, as I'm apt to do in this podcast. So I just, like, went ahead and closed the window because, you know, they don't need that kind of nonsense. Okay, so this, let's see. So most of this that I have in my notes here are just things I've watched lately. Sure. So here's things I've watched lately. So I have been impressed with Daniel Radcliffe post Harry Potter, right? I mean, most people who were in that position, good looking kid, good looking adult, made a name for themselves, they could easily transition that into here's a crazy rom-com career where you're an uptight accountant and she's a freewheeling manic pixie dream girl and whoa, when two worlds collide. He didn't, right? He did real weird movies. He's done Guns Akimbo, where it's kind of like a Running Man style situation, and he's got guns kind of bolted to his hands, and so he can't, you know, if somebody tells him to drop the weapons, he can't. And it's just kind of this mad race. He's in, the best of the weird, the weirdest of the weird is Swiss Army Man. And it's him and Paul Dano, and one of them is dead. I think Paul Dano is dead. And he just uses the dead body in a variety of ways. There is a scene that's literally 30 seconds of Paul Dano farting and Radcliffe using him as a jet ski as his farts push him across a body of water, and it is hilarious and stupid and super weird. And that movie, Swiss Army Man, is made by the same people who did Everything Everywhere All at Once. So if you enjoyed that movie, and you, God, I hope you did, because that is a fantastic movie, you will enjoy Swiss Army Man. But the movie that I saw just recently is called Horns. Now, I'm not sure I can really recommend this movie. It's neat, it's weird. And this is something that happens in the first 5 minutes, but basically Radcliffe's character is accused of murdering his longtime girlfriend, and then because of that, it's very unclear, but he grows horns and he slowly starts mutating into the devil, right? Snakes show up, like it's a whole thing. And I appreciate, I should say the other fun thing, this happens later on in the movie. Again, not sure you should see it, so I don't really feel like I'm spoiling anything. But one of the other really fun things in the movie is something about his mutation and the horns and becoming the devil has now made it so everybody confesses their deepest, darkest desires while he's in their presence. And so that's really fun. So like he goes and talks to his parents and they tell him how much they hate him and how they, you know, wish he was dead and, you know, all of this stuff. And then he's like, oh, wait, I have these horns. People confess stuff to me. I'm just going to go walk around the town and find my girlfriend's killer because they can't not confess. Great. So it's a neat idea. I'm not sure I would recommend it, but it's called Horns. It's on Amazon Prime if you're interested. The results. They did a self-investigation like a Florida sheriff's station, so you know they won't be found. All right, so the other thing that I invested a whole bunch of time into is the TV show Dark. This was recommended to me by multiple people. Now, this show is a German time travel show. And I know what you're saying. Oh boy, I love time. Hey buddy, hey guy, hey my dude. Time travel, that's my jam. I love anything time travel. Okay, slow your roll, Jimmy Buffett. Let me just tell you, this is not like any other time travel thing you've ever seen. Like, right, most time travel is one person goes back in time and they spend the whole movie trying to get back to the future, as in the movie Back to the Future. And that's fine, right? And that's super straightforward and it's a lot of fun. It's fish out of water, you know. Marty McFly has the whole thing of like he's got the puffy sweater vest and they think he works in the lifeguard and he wants a Pepsi free and they're like, no, you gotta pay for it. Anyway, you know, you've seen the movie. I don't need to explain a 30-year-old movie to you, but my point is one person, two time zones, right? Past, present, done. Dark, on the other hand, is there is a cave in the middle of town, and if you go through it, and I'm oversimplifying it, but if you go through it, you wind up 33 years in the past. Well, sort of. It's 33 multiples of 33. So you could wind up 33 years in the past, 33 years in the future, 66 years in the past, 99 years in the past, right? You see where this is going. And sure as shit, everybody in the whole goddamn town, see, now this is why I closed the window, because I'm all fired up about this show. Everybody in this goddamn town goes through this fucking cave, right? So it's not hard enough that I have to remember who's related to who, who's dating who. In one time era, time period, now I gotta do it for four, right? That's a lot of goddamn work. Now, if that wasn't enough, then, and all right, I'm gonna spoil this part for you. So if you don't wanna hear, if you were planning on watching this, fast forward, but I don't really recommend it. It's not that good. It's just a lot of work. At some point in like the last season, there's only three seasons of this thing, so it's not a huge commitment, but in the last season, they introduce a multiverse. So now you've got four time periods times two. The only thing that really differentiates the people between this universe and the other universe is they have slightly different haircuts, but it's all the same people, it's all the same players, and to make matters even more confusing, they are married to different people. Same actors, same characters, but they did a big old mash them around, switcheroo, mix them up, and now and now they're married to other people. So all the relationships you were trying to keep straight for the first two seasons are now kind of blown up in season three. And I will say the finale is, I would say, unearned. It is... Yeah, it feels very rushed and forced and kind of crowbarred in the last four episodes of this 30-episode run. Anyway, so, oh, by the way, if you do want to watch it, there is a subtitled version. I watched the dubbed version because I eat when I watch TV, so, you know, I can't keep up with the subtitles, you know, because I gotta look down at my food and then eat. So there you go. Dark, now streaming on Netflix.
Happy Easter, death is risen. There are multiple famines for you to examine. Thank God you
got. All right, so then I don't, I on Instagram must have been, who cares where the source material comes from, but, so I watched Movie 43, Movie 43, now streaming on Amazon Prime, or at least it was when I watched it. Movie 43 is baffling. Baffling, not because it's hard to understand, it's really easy to understand. But it's baffling how many celebrities they got to do this thing. So the premise of Movie 43 is these guys on the internet are trying to find this sort of quote-unquote forbidden movie called Movie 43. And so they go down this dark web rabbit hole of like, well, oh, there's Movie 12, and there's Movie 11, and there's Movie 25. And it's essentially just sketches, right? It's sketches under this loose framework of this is all tied into one bigger movie, but the sketches don't have anything to do with each other. But every sketch is like Anna Faris, Chris Pratt, Richard fucking gear is in this movie. And I'm not going to tell you what the sketch is or what it's about. I'm just going to tell you that for about 15 seconds, Richard Gere sits at a desk and says, "Mangled dicks, mangled dicks, mangled dicks." And he means penises. The whole sketch is about penises. Again, glad I closed the window. Okay. It is stunning to me. Like, one of the producers is a Zucker brother, but still that doesn't explain how they got every single sketch in this is jam-packed with celebrities. Okay. Movie 43, it is fun. It is the dirtiest, raunchiest, silliest movie I have ever seen. I would recommend it. It's like I said, it's one of the really nice things about it is it is a movie you can just watch 10 minutes of and then stop and then go do something else and then come back and watch 10 minutes of, you know, so if you're just sitting on the couch and you're just like, you know, I'm feeling a little low energy. I just want to just chill for 10 minutes and do something. Put on movie 43 and then you'll watch a funny sketch about mangled dicks. And then you're like, okay, got it. Let's move on. And then you can get on with the rest of the day as opposed to like, oh no, I got to watch a whole hour and a half at one time. Nope. No, you don't. Familiar folks all come into your life. It's that same old face with a brand new life. All right, The Beekeeper. I watched The Beekeeper, I think on Amazon Prime. It might have been on Max. I don't know why I care. I guess I care because I want you to watch it. Oh, I don't know why you want to watch it. Anyway, The Beekeeper. The Beekeeper is the latest Jason Statham shoot 'em up where he is a super ultra agent that can just kill a whole room full of people with no problem, whatever. What I liked about The Beekeeper is the set designers had fun with this movie. They went above and beyond to put stuff in the background that makes no sense. And I don't know why they did it. Like, there's one scene where they're in an FBI agent's office and the roof is leaking for some reason. They don't address it. No one says anything about it. No one even referenced, like, there was I listened to the How Did This Get Made episode about The Beekeeper, and they were like, oh, it's probably because the FBI is underfunded and they don't have very much money, and so this is to show that. But they don't ever, you know, that's not a thing. They never actually talk about not having very much money. It's just sort of like there. And it's fun too, because if you look at like the pictures on their desk, it's like people screaming. It's not like, you know, a happy smiley, like, here's me and my mom or here's me and my family. It's just like people in either the most joy or terror. I don't know. I can't tell. But it's an extreme emotion that is just so funny that somebody would have on their desk. But okay. This is the part I wanted to bring up. It's a lot of fun. It's very silly. But the premise of the movie is there is a huge network of people trying to scam other people out of their money. And the way they do it is they load a virus on your computer and it says, your computer has been infected by a virus, call this number and we'll get the virus off of your computer, right? So then they call the number and it, the call center where that you call into is, I would say, somewhere between a Vegas casino, a motivational speaker seminar, and an acid trip. It's got big screen TVs everywhere showing crazy swirling visualizations. It's got a guy on a microphone yelling into the microphone, "We just got $1 million from an old lady in Tacoma. Put it on the board." And then everybody cheers. And it's like, this is the room where they're getting calls from these old people trying to get viruses off of their computer. I mean, I don't know how they expect, first of all, I don't know how anybody doesn't have a splitting headache from being in this swirling light show with blasting music, blasting rave music, this guy screaming through a PA system constantly. But then, you know, you're supposed to be fielding calls. You're supposed to be bilking these people out of the money, out of their money. And then just in the background, you hear, "Spokane, $2 million. And then I'm just like, wait, I'm sorry. What was that? Like, why is this guy screaming about $2 million? "We really got that old bitch for everything she was worth." Wait a minute. What are you talking about, stealing money from people? No. We didn't say anything about that. That was just code words. I mean, it's bananas, right? It is the least productive environment ever. But hey, don't worry, because Jason Statham murders all of them in about 30 seconds. Okay, so last time I talked about the Fanny documentary. The Fanny documentary, now here's why this is important, where you can watch it. I watched it on Hoopla. Hoopla, if you don't know, is a service that is done free from your library. Now, not all libraries have it. Some libraries have another service. It's very similar. It's called Canopy. Same idea, right? It's, you go on this website, you enter in your library card. Library cards are free to get. And then you can check out, I think it's up to 3 titles a month. And you can just go on the web and say, like, where can I stream, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And it's interesting, when you sign up, you can get emails from Hoopla alerting you of, you know, other titles that are available on Hoopla. And they will tell you, and they will give you emails near the end of the month, and they'll be like, "Oh, hey man, you still have, you know, 2 more checkouts you can do, and here's some, you know, here's things you can check out." Like, they really want you to use this service, and why not? It's free. But I watched the Fanny documentary on there, and the Fanny documentary, I think, is like, it's like 2022, I want to say. So it's a couple years old, but actually way more recent than I thought, because I didn't even know about this band until about 6 weeks ago. So, but it's them getting the band back together. And it's weird because there is, if you watch the Beat Club videos that I mentioned last time, there is a piano player. And she does not appear in the documentary at all. They mention her for 2 sentences, and like, they're like, "We don't know where she is. We have heard that she doesn't want to be in the band. She doesn't want anything to do with the documentary. Like, she is done." Okay, well, great. But the documentary is super fascinating. I highly recommend it. It's pretty short. It's a mix of like, hey, we're getting the band back together, and it is, you know, the history of the band. And holy cow, man, like, this band, they were gay, Filipina, like, they had just everything going against them. Like, they were trying to rock out, and like, all these assholes were like, No, that's not what we want from our lady rock stars. We want sweet, pretty music. And as I referenced in the last episode of this podcast, the albums are completely watered down compared to that Beat Club performance. And it's they don't make a big deal of it, but they reference it ever so slightly in the documentary, where the guitarist gets into a fight with their record producer because he's trying to turn down her amp. And it's like, no, I want to rock. I want that guitar to be biting and edgy and distorted and growly. That's what I want. And he's trying to turn them down. And it's like, it's so obvious in those recordings that they just got, I mean, look, they don't have balls, but they got their balls cut off. They got neutered in those recordings. So, but anyway, the Fanny documentary, I think, I can't remember what it's called. It's like, We Were Born to Rock or something like that. I don't know. But it's really good, and I highly recommend checking it out. Okay, so, before I go, I just have to say one thing more about Jesse Wells. I was really excited about this artist, and I was like, who can I send him to? I can send him to somebody. And I was thinking, you know what? Eddie Pepitone is a guy who is constantly railing against, you know, the military industrial complex and the corruption and all this. I'm like, he would love this stuff. So I grabbed one of the YouTube links. I think it was about the one about being poor. And because I met him at Max FunCon, I texted him and I said, hey, I know you love a good protest song. I thought you would like this. And he texted me back and he was like, it gives me hope for the younger generation. So I like that. I'm glad I'm able to spread the word, and I'm glad the word was well received. So Jesse Wells, you can buy his music on Amazon Music. You can, he's got, you know, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all of that stuff. I highly recommend. He's prolific as hell. After Trump almost got assassinated, god damn, I didn't even talk about that at all. Anyway, there's no need to talk about it. We all saw it. We were there. I mean, not there, but we were there in the moment. But he had a song out the next day that was about, you know, like, hey man, like, we shouldn't be killing each other, all right? So knock it off. He's super prolific and a great Instagram follow. And god, you know, I like this guy so much because he's got a great message, but a lot of those folk singers of the time, like your Bob Dylan's and other guys, just can't sing. And this guy's got a real unique voice that I love so much. Here, take a listen.
Well, did a man-made famine shut the factory down? I know it's bad in Bangladesh, but I hate this town. I need some help finding the strength.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. So my job is real weird right now. It is constantly in flux between being outsourced. Like, I think it's going to get outsourced soon. I had a conversation with my boss. And so just so everybody knows, there is an effort within the company I work in to take existing jobs, lay off those people who do those jobs, and then hire their equivalent in India. Because as I looked online, and I couldn't find any real reliable resources, but all the resources I found said that a person in India will work for 1/10 the wage of someone in the United States. So what's really crazy, well, I don't want to say too much, but I'll just say there is a department that I work very closely with, and they all got the notice that in the next 3 months that they would be out of a job. But in the meantime, lucky you get to train your Indian replacements. Oh, go fuck yourself with everyone's dick. But anyway, so what I think here, I'm just going to state this on the record. So what's going to happen? They are officially gone in November, and then their Indian counterparts will be doing their job. Our fiscal year is shifted one quarter later. So, you know, the calendar fiscal year ends December. Our fiscal year ends March, the end of March. So I think they are going to keep us around right before. I think we're going to get the notice in January that we have 3 months to train our Indian counterparts, and then we're out the door. Because I think what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to transition all this crap over before the end of the fiscal year so they can start the new fiscal year with this new idea. I don't even know what to call it. I mean, look, I love a paycheck. I hate working, so I don't know what this is gonna do, but it sucks. I am the most privileged of privilege. I've got resources and means that, you know, if shit goes sideways, I'm not gonna lose the farm. So it's fine for me, but I do feel bad for everybody else. But boy, I just also, it kind of just burns. It just kills my soul that it's just, oh, you know, like Jesse Wells is singing about, right? We don't care about you. All we care about is money. And we don't care that, you know, it's that we're firing people and we're replacing people and that people with history and knowledge does not matter to us at all. We are just totally fine getting rid of you and replacing you with other folks because they are cheaper. We would love to replace you with robots because robots are way cheaper than humans, but they're not there yet, so I guess we can't do that. But yeah, so that's where the job is at. Oh, darn it. I was going to leave it on a happy note with the Fanny documentary, and I guess I failed that task. But, okay, so wait. I'm going to see where I'm at with this. Okay, all right. So I got one more song left.
Happy, happy Mother's Day. From Okaloosa County, happy Mother's Day.
Okay, I'll just wrap it up with this. So I make notes in the notes app to remind me of things to talk about. Look, I don't know what this is. I'm assuming it was a porn parody for an actual movie. But it doesn't have to be. It might be just something you might want to yell at your neighbors. So everybody, every good podcaster needs to sign off. So maybe mine will be Mr. Sodomy's Buttfuck Emporium. And from me, from the music of Jesse Wells and Bright Brown, let's do this one more time.
Sodomy!